Hey, welcome back to the Measure Twice Planners podcast, and thanks so much for listening. During this episode, I share my thoughts about launching an advice-only financial planning firm and deciding not to manage any client investments, specifically to serve different people differently, not to claim all other service and compensation models are bad. I actually recorded this episode about 7 months after launching my financial planning firm, Measure Twice Financial, and I hope it helps you gain additional clarity about your desired business model and ideal client avatar. Today's episode answers the question, as an advice-only financial planner, what are your thoughts about investments under management, and what do you have against it? Although I offer advice-only financial planning with no discretion over client investments, I do provide specific investment advice and am still required to register as an RIA. Some advisors have assumed that being an advice-only financial planner means that I have something against investment management or against other advisors with different compensation models, but that's actually not the case. I understand that we serve different people differently, and that's one of the wonderful things about our industry, especially right now. It's so exciting to see advisors become more intentional about who and how they serve across the wide spectrum of delegators and do-it-yourself DIY investors. So I mention this word spectrum because although we may be quick to think about delegation and DIY as binary options, similarly to how many of us view politics, we must be careful not to assume that all clients whose investments are professionally managed don't also want to be involved in the decision-making or implementation process. Also, we shouldn't assume that all do-it-yourself investors are necessarily learn-it-yourself investors. As we serve families with varying needs and preferences, there's a lot of gray area, which actually creates more opportunities for advisors to develop an intentional practice. When launching a financial planning firm, or even when joining the industry from the beginning, I encourage advisors to ask the following questions in this specific order. Question number one, whom do you serve? Imagine that you just launched your financial planning business today. You look up from your desk as the first ideal prospective client opens the door to your office. Who's coming through the door? Are they alone? Are they a couple? Did they bring their kids with them? Are they excited? Are they arguing? Are they anxious? Are they employed, retired? Did they just get laid off? Do they own a business? What is their income? What does the balance sheet look like? So you can probably see where I'm going here. It is important to visualize and describe your client avatar in as much detail as possible. I even encourage you to write all of this down. Once you have poured out all the details onto the page, then you can ask yourself, does this ideal client describe me or someone I know? Contemplate why you chose a specific client rather than someone else. There's likely a deeper personal connection there. Question number two, how do you serve? Now that you understand who you serve, determine how you can provide value to them. How can you help? Can you solve specific problems? Are they looking for a quick second opinion or ongoing guidance and accountability? Do they prefer in-person meetings or video calls? How often do they want to meet with you? How long will the meetings be, and will there be an agenda? How will you present information to them? How do you find the right questions to ask? How do they prefer to learn? Through reading, listening, watching, or doing? Going deeper into how you serve will help you develop your financial planning process and even how you work on the business, not just within the business. Question number three, what is the most appropriate way for the ideal client to pay for the valuable service you provide? Now that you have created a detailed avatar for who you serve and also how to uniquely provide value to them, determining the appropriate compensation model becomes much easier. It is crucial that the order of these questions is not reversed, with compensation being the leading metric of your business success. I believe that when you understand who and how you serve in great detail, then develop every part of your process in alignment with that vision, the sustainability and profitability of the business itself will naturally follow. When I went through this three-question exercise before launching Measure Twice Financial last year, I discovered that the ideal client was actually my family 5 years from now. We love to collaboratively learn, we prefer to be passive with our investments but active with our lifestyle, and we hope to be work optional within the next 5 years so we can spend even more time generously giving to others without expecting anything in return. If my wife Marissa and I were hiring a financial planner, we would want to go beyond the basics with personalized education and collaboratively develop a financial plan that only makes sense for our family's unique financial situation and desired outcomes. And in terms of the process, we'd prefer to check in once per year to track our progress and discover any new opportunities as life changes. Acknowledging our needs and preferences, the most appropriate service would be project-based, comprehensive planning for a flat fee without investment management. We would also want that fee to be unrelated to our income or asset level, knowing the out-the-door cost before the planning engagement begins. We're a family that doesn't like restaurant menus without listed prices. I encourage you to go through this exercise yourself to determine if your business has an opportunity to align more closely with the communities you truly want to serve. So going back to investment management, I believe it can be appropriate for families who don't have one or more of the three T's, the time, the temperament, or the talent. Many families assume that managing investments takes a lot of time, or that any time spent within investment accounts is not of their highest and best use, especially for busy professionals who prioritize work and family. Temperament is the behavioral element of investing that advisors can support, beyond stopping investors from liquidating cash during a down market. We understand that our own behavior can be our own worst enemy, often resulting in rational decision-making, but irrational implementation. Lastly, talent is the skill to understand risk capacity, research investment options, and gain knowledge to implement with confidence. Since the families I serve prioritize time to learn more about personal finance, have the temperament to understand and align their risk tolerance with their risk capacity, and have the talent necessary to implement investment decisions, they can be well served with financial planning without investment management. Advisors often ask how I get clients to actually implement financial planning recommendations, since I don't offer any ongoing monthly retainer or discretion over investments. The answer lies within my educational planning process. Financial decisions are certainly difficult to implement if a family doesn't understand the how and the why to support them. Although most advisors suggest what to do, I also teach clients how to implement decisions. This can mean screen sharing to teach them how to invest at their custody of choice, whether at Fidelity, Vanguard, M1 Finance, etc., how to review cost basis information, realized and unrealized capital gain and loss, and how to initiate their own contributions, transfers, and conversions. They fly the plane and I am the co-pilot. They are the hero and I am the guide. Since clients now understand what to do and how to do it, the remaining piece is the why. The financial planning process specifically focuses on educating families to understand their comprehensive financial situation in alignment with their personal values and desired outcomes. From my perspective, personalized education is the best way to show families why a planning recommendation specifically aligns with their situation. This is one of the reasons I don't use rules of thumbs in financial planning, like the 3 to 6 month emergency fund, save 15% of gross income, or the 4% rule. One size fits all financial advice hardly fits anyone. Our one-on-one relationship is the perfect opportunity to go beyond the basics and develop a customized educational experience. Rather than telling families what to do, I lead with education to help them understand their own decisions, which are much more likely to stick and actually be implemented.